And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. I hope your week is starting out well. I've got a guest co-host joining me today. His name's Tom Paulswitz. I want to give a big thank you to Sarah Anderson of the Global Economy Project. Yes. You can check out their work at inequality.org. I really encourage you to spend some time there. We got some folks that may want to join us on the phones, 855-752-4842. Kind of wanted to open this up, Tom, whether people want to talk about Trump's first 100 days, right. They want to talk about Judge Dugan's arrest, or we want to talk about what will be an absolute disaster of epic-sized proportions for the middle class and working people if Donald Trump has his way with the tax code, which will basically just be like a goodie jar. A grab bag of corporate and billionaire welfare funded by the middle class.
And one of the things we didn't touch on was if the tariffs are going to work, supposedly like President Trump says, we'll have more jobs, but we won't have tariff money coming in. So, and with an already low unemployment of 4.2%, who's going to be taking these jobs that when manufacturing returns, and then how are we going to offset the tax cuts with tariff income if it's not going to be there?
Yeah, so you're zooming ahead. Like, assume everything that Donald Trump says about tariffs works really well, and we've got this huge windfall of revenue generated for the federal government. And so we slash all these programs. We, you know, reduce income taxes for billionaires because they're really hurting these days.
Yeah,
we reduce corporate tax rates because, of course, the wealthiest corporations are really hurting these days. And so dot, 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 all of these businesses eventually bring manufacturing back to the United States. You're asking two questions. We're no longer, there's not as many imports happening. So tariff revenue goes down over time.
And doesn't secondly, fill the gap, right?
Correct. Yep. We have extremely low unemployment right now. You bring all these so-called jobs back. How is that all going to work? Will we even have enough people to fill all these said jobs, which won't come back on a one-to-one basis because corporations will look to automate and do all kinds of other things to reduce their labor cost variability over time. But the meta point is the tariff as revenue source is not a permanent revenue source.
It's not sustainable, right.
So then what?
And here's the thing. If you're already working two jobs to make ends meet, you're not looking for a third job. Like, that's not going to solve the issue.
Well, I've gotten into this discussion with so many conservative friends because I hear all the time, we want to incentivize work. So my first question is, well, then why do we tax wealth, the dollar earned from wealth, less than we tax the dollar earned from work? If you're no longer working, you're not earning an income, you're not contributing to Social Security. By the way, scrap the cap. That's stupid. That would help Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment, all those things. If you are not earning an income and all you're doing is fat catting because your wealth is just throwing off more and more wealth, which I always like to refer back to my good friend Morris Pearl, who explains the billionaire tactic is you just sit on your enormous wealth. You never actually sell off much or a lot of your assets because you can just borrow against the asset.
Right.
The interest and the expense of the loan itself is a tax deduction. And then
and
you
it's nominal
die.
Compared to your overall
correct. Wealth. And then you die and it all like magically moves and avoids. There's a whole bunch of tax avoidance strategies at death as well. And effectively, you end up with a money printing machine ad infinitum. And you don't end up incurring a substantial tax penalty, or I shouldn't even say penalty, tax cost when your wealth grows exponentially, and it's a real problem.
And if it doesn't work, you declare bankruptcy.
Yeah, just start all over. It'll be fine.
As many times as it takes, right? Because you've got some hidden assets somewhere to get started over.
So the first question I always ask people when they're like, we need to incentivize work. I'm like, yeah, but not rich, rich people. We're not worried about them working. You're only worried about poor people working. And trust me, poor people work. And the second thing I ask them is, okay, then you tell me what number of hours someone should be expected to work in a week, whatever that number is.
Right.
And somebody could say 80. Okay, fine. 80 hours a week. That's, or 60. If we say it's 40, whatever it is, 50, let's just call it 60, which is a ton of hours. I almost
said
it.
An
FCC not compliant word there. Whoops. Right. Let's not do that.
No HR professionals are currently listening, hopefully.
No, it's a ton of work. Say it's 60 hours. My next question to them is, so why don't we have a wage level that at 60 hours allows a person to live with their basic necessities met, housing, transportation, healthcare, and maybe even a little bit left over for, you know, food, medication.
Yep.
Right? Like that's a calculable number. Right. Car pay, whatever it is.
Right. Whatever it is. Right.
We're not anywhere in the ballpark of
not
that
even
number.
Close.
So
right.
Don't talk to me about this being about, it's just to me that the failure to match up the stated value and the system is the thing that is most disturbing to me. And by the way, this thing, stock buybacks, those weren't legal in the United States until 1982,
right?
The Reagan administration snuck this in. It's now under the Internal Revenue Code Section 10B8. They didn't exist before. What are they? It's exactly what it sounds like. A corporation buys back its stock,
right?
Gives cash to the person that owns said stock, thereby reducing the supply of their stock on the market, driving up the price of the remaining stock, which creates more on paper wealth for the largest shareholders. Right. And they've just gotten this huge cash infusion.
It's a great tool. CFOs love it, right? Because it's one of those wonderful tools to juice stock price. You know, theoretically, it's only temporary unless you keep making more money. But, you know, as long as the tax code allows you to keep making more money. But I think this whole income inequality thing, Maggie, I think it comes down to, as a society, we value capital more than labor. And it is something that I just cannot wrap my head around, because it's really hard to create capital.
But that's not what conservatives say.
But
they're,
it's really hard to create capital without labor, right?
Correct.
When anybody says, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I made it happen. Well, you leveraged labor to make that happen. It's really hard to create a business and grow a business that doesn't involve people. Like, there aren't that many that are able to do that. So by leveraging other people, you're able to create wealth. But somehow that wealth is more important than making sure people have their basic needs met along the way.
It's fascinating to me, because I've worked with a number of entrepreneurs, and most of them are serial entrepreneurs over the course of my career. Every single one of them that has been highly successful have been people that have, in way, shape, form, deed, and word, pay their people a livable way, and like want the people that work for them to also get fat at the table, if you will. Like, they understand that that needs to happen. And you made this point with our last guest, Tom, and it bears repeating. 70% of our country's economic productivity, as measured by gross domestic product, is generated by consumer spending. Let me put it differently. The economic growth of the United States is entirely driven by the middle class. And if the middle class starts curbing, especially discretionary consumer spending, which they will under Donald Trump's ideal tariff state and this ever more regressive income tax system that we have, it will eventually slow economic growth.
Yeah.
And so your point, Tom, as I understand it, is like, where are the CEOs? I'll tell you where they are right now, counting their money all the way to the bank and not wanting to draw the ire of Donald Trump. They want to fly under the radar and count the bills.
And I'll throw in a third thing, is that recessions are great buying opportunities for assets.
Yeah.
Right. And if you have money in a recession, you're going to win. If you have a job and don't have a lot of wealth, you're going to lose. So it exacerbates this inequality. So CEOs, most of them aren't really afraid of recessions because they know individually they're going to get more wealthy. It's whether they're going to keep their job or not. But we've seen, you know, them job hop from job to job and they make more money. But the bottom line is that recessions are very good for wealthy people because it allows them to gobble up even more assets.
Just like wars are very good for wealthy people.
Yes.
Right. It's like
things that aren't good for the rest of us, things that aren't good for the rest of for society, you know, in general.
It's funny because the lead in for the second hour, I talk about it. Not everything I'm going to talk about this hour is going to be illegal, but it's all bad for regular people.
Bad, right?
Like wars and regressive tax systems, whether they're tariffs or income tax, bad for regular people, really good for our billionaire overlord classes. Like that works out very, very well. And this statistic is the one that I want everyone to have seared into their brain. In addition to, well, why do we tax work more heavily than we tax a dollar made from wealth? Know that one. Yep. Ask the question, hey, if somebody's willing to work 60 hard hours a week, why can't they live in basic human dignity? They can't, or many people can't in this country because we don't actually have a minimum wage. Ask someone this question, why is it that $50 trillion in wealth from 1981 to date has gone from the bottom 90% to the top 1%. If this works so well and all of this wealth trickles down, why are we actually seeing wealth trickle up to the tune of 50 trillion?
It would be shared. It would be shared, or more people would be wealthier. And that is not what we're seeing.
Not what we're seeing. We're seeing the opposite of that.
We're seeing less people become more hyper wealthy.
Yes. Let's get a call or two in. Anne from Chippewa Falls, nice to see you on my caller list. How are you? Say hello to Tom. What would you like to share this afternoon?
Hi, Tom. Hi, Maggie. I think your show is awesome. I get so frustrated because these wealthy people have no idea what it's like to be a working person. But then again, I also get very angry about people in rural areas, which I used to live in growing up. They are all Trumpers, and they're the people that are going to get hurt the worst, and they don't get it. The Trump administration has lied so much. Fox News has lied so much to these people that they think that it's the immigrants that are causing all the problems. But see, the rich people have a great message. They have a great message. They know what to say and what to do for these people to buy into it, and it's really affected a lot of families.
And I couldn't agree with you more. I've been saying this since Donald Trump's second victory. How did we get here, right? And there were five things that had to happen. And it's what got us here. And the first and most important one, and we'll talk a little bit more about these other figures, maybe I'll say maybe six things. But the first and most important one is that the regular folks that voted for Donald Trump are experiencing true good faith, economic, existential anxiety. They are correctly perceiving that the screws are to them and the fix is in. They're getting that message clearly. And I'll talk about the other handful of factors that Anne was getting at just a moment ago, because knowing why we're here helps us figure out how we're going to get there with a more fair tax code and actually valuing dollars earned from work more than dollars earned from wealth. What we say we value, let's now do it. We're going to continue this discussion with you and Tom.